Welcome to the Diabetic Health Clinic Podcast, a lifestyle designed to normalize your blood sugar levels. You can always visit us on www.diabetichealthclinic.org. That's www.diabetichealthclinic.org. My name is Peter Pratt, and welcome to a very fascinating podcast. Tonight we've got Matt with us. Matt is a very, very good friend of mine. I've known Matt for quite a while, and Matt went down the track of juicing for quite a while, and he actually changed his lifestyle a fair bit. So we want to say hello to Matt. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Good, Pete. How are you?
Not too bad. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to catch up.
Tonight we just want to cover off some of the things that you've done, because you've done some pretty amazing stuff, really. You know, you've done things that the majority of people would never contemplate doing. But before we get on to that, why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown as to what you were like before you changed your lifestyle? So things like, for example, weight, blood pressure, what you felt like, that sort of thing.
Yep. Yeah, look, I was constantly fairly tired, certainly overweight. I was 134-135 kilos. I'm 6'4", and would eat pretty much anything, from regular stints at Hungry Jack's to pretty much anything, you know, fish and chips and all that sort of stuff. And blood pressure was pretty high. I actually had to get some insurance for work, and had a nurse come around in the morning to my place, and my resting blood pressure was about 165 over 110, I think it was, at that stage, and that was me sitting on my own couch, supposedly relaxed in the morning. So, and the nurse said to me, mate, you'd better get that checked out, because that's not normal. That's a bit of a concern. So, on from that, I suppose that raised some, alarm bells on, and started to get me thinking, but I still didn't do much about it. And I suppose it was my chat with you, really. That's at one point that really changed my whole thought process on the whole thing.
Right. So I have to clarify something here for all the listeners. Even though the Diabetic Health Clinic deals with diabetes, you don't have diabetes.
No, I don't.
So the reason why I've actually got you on tonight is because a little bit later we're going to be talking about how difficult it is to actually drop the sugar and what the sugar withdrawals mean to someone that's trying to get off sugar. That's the reason why we're talking to you, but your state of health is probably similar to what a lot of people experience out there in the community. And certainly when you look at type 2 diabetics, what you've described, it's quite a normal state. High blood pressure, overweight, tired, the wrong sort of foods, all that sort of thing comes into it. So that's quite normal.
Yeah, and at 38 at the time, everyone around me was sort of saying, you need to get it sorted out. My grandfather died at a very young age from a heart attack, and my father had one in his mid-50s. So obviously it's always been a bit of a concern for me. But still, again, didn't change what I was doing at that time.
Right. I remember when we met really well and I walked in and you couldn't recognize me because of the weight loss.
Yep.
And I remember ordering that juice and you were looking at me pretty funny and saying, is that what you're having for lunch? What was it that actually inspired you to make a change?
I think, and probably at that meeting, even though for me the change in you was dramatic, and I still had what I probably had for lunch then, which was probably not that healthy at the time. It's still, when I walked away from that meeting, it really sort of hit me that, because you sort of said to me, I'll help you if you actually take it on board. And I sort of walked away from that meeting and immediately told my wife, which is probably the big step. And she said, well, you got to do something. So, we sort of made a bit of a pact to say, well, if I'm doing it, then she needed to do it. And she wasn't overly above her normal weight. I mean, she's probably 5 or 6, maybe 7 kilos, I suppose. But so I think that was another factor that helped me make that decision, that we both bought into it. And obviously also your support, which was fantastic all along the way. I suppose we'll talk a bit about that later in regards to how hard it was. But, that was seeing you and making that decision that there was probably a bit of, I could see a bit of light there at the end of the tunnel, because I think for a long time I just was in denial or was trying not to face up to the fact that I was in that state.
Yeah, right. The interesting thing with all of this is now there are so many options open to people. When people listen to these sort of podcasts, they think, well, there's all these different dieting places. You open up magazines and they have 50 million different diets, and it's this week it's the low-fat diet, next week it's the low-carb diet, next week it's something else. There's diet after diet after diet.
Yep.
What on earth made you decide what was the right thing to do?
Seeing the dramatic change in yourself,
right.
That was a big factor. The other major thing was that, and this is something that kept coming up when I was telling people about it as I was going through it, and they were sort of saying, oh, how can you survive on just, you know, the juice and that sort of stuff? And I think the main thing too was that there's nothing bad that you're putting into your body. It's all healthy stuff. It's, you know, it's a heap of veggies that you just you couldn't possibly consume any other way. And it's not as if you're doing something that's, you're not depriving your body necessarily of the good things. You're actually giving your body more of the good things. So I think that was probably another factor, that it was actually a healthy way to achieve what you said I could. So right. Yeah.
So what you're saying is it was logical for you to actually go down that track.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And look, I've tried lots of different things, you know. It just didn't work.
Yeah,
you
know? I remember how we used to try. I remember coming from business lunches and driving through Hungry Jack's for a top-up.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, we tried pretty hard on that, actually.
yeah, how things have changed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So when it comes now to the juice fast, now, you know, you're thinking about doing a juice fast. What were your feelings before you started?
I was pretty determined and a little bit sceptical, I suppose, but you did give me a fair bit of information to, you know, I suppose build a fair bit of confidence that I thought if I could stick to it, I'm pretty sure I could get the sort of results and get my life back on track. So it was pretty, you know, I was determined. So, but I suppose a little bit... because the biggest thing, I think, is just changing your whole way of looking at food. And that, not only food, but also how you interact with even the people around you and you know, how they see you and see what you're doing. And, you know, you've got to change some perceptions and that sort of stuff with your friends. So I think that was a bit of, you know, trepidation, I suppose, from that point of view.
Yeah, right. Can you describe now your first day on juicing? What did you go through?
I was very, I was hungry, and I suppose, probably at night, I sort of struggled a little bit the first night, but as I said, we were both pretty determined, we you know, just said, well, that, you know, that's it, we got through it, and I remember having a tea, I think green tea, which I would never have had, you know, prior to that. It's probably the first time I've ever had green tea, and I was hungry. And probably starting to get, and I get a little bit, or I used to get a little bit irritable.
Right.
Because I was so used to, when I got, you know, got hungry, I used to obviously load up with things that I suppose fulfilled that hunger.
Yep. So as far as sugar withdrawals go, the first day is actually the easiest day to deal with.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's the initial start, and you see, you can get through the first day. I mean, I you know, without too many dramas, I think it's probably working in from there that starts to, you know, really starts to get you thinking, get you feeling what you're going through.
Okay, so now day one is over.
Yep.
You're up to day two. Now, can you give us a description of what you went through in the subsequent days? And can you try and ascertain for us how powerful these sugar addictions were for you?
Yeah, look, I think day two, I was starting to really struggle, particularly the end of day two. I remember, you know, reading into day three, and I was feeling, you know, as though I was having night sweats. I was restless. I felt like I had the flu, headachy. Yeah, I was struggling at the end of day two, leading into day three.
Mm.
And, yeah, I could have pulled the pin pretty easily on the start of day three. But, yeah, getting up, I could have stayed in bed and felt like I could have curled up in a ball and, wish someone had put me out of my misery, to be honest. Yeah, so I struggled. At the end of day two and start of day three was a struggle, a big struggle.
So
I remember feeling, you know, very wet, drenched when I sort of, you know, got up day three, eventually dragged myself out of bed, headachy, flu-y, aching. Yep.
That's some pretty heavy duty withdrawals. What were you on, Matt?
Well, when you consider, you know, I was having probably even just from a raw sugar point of view, coffees, you know, I'd have three sugars in my coffee. I was eating a lot of pasta, white pasta, white bread, white rice, you know, soft drink, all the things that, you know, I wouldn't touch now, but I was having those in prior to juicing in, you know, without any hesitation.
Yep. So you were actually a big consumer of sugar.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
So day three comes around. And what happens then?
The end of day three, after getting up feeling crook, I sort of started to feel a little bit better. I think the night of day three, I actually slept a hell of a lot better than I did the previous night. I was still feeling hungry, I suppose, or, you know, like as though I was missing something significantly, but it wasn't as bad going into day four. In fact, when I got up in day four, I felt pretty good. I felt it's sort of as though you'd sort of broken through. That's how I sort of felt. And my wife was the same. She certainly didn't suffer the withdrawal as badly as I did. She didn't have as bad a day two, three as what I did. She was not well, but she certainly wasn't as bad as I was. But leading into day four, I was felt pretty good, actually.
Mm. So was that really the breaking point where you experienced no other withdrawal symptoms after that, or did you still have withdrawal symptoms after that day four?
Nowhere near what I did in day two, three. I felt as though I'd broken the back of it.
Right.
At day four, and didn't look back. Haven't looked back. From then.
Yeah, it's interesting with the sugar withdrawals that once they break, they break.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, people, until you go through it, people go through it differently, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, I know my wife and I did, and I was certainly, I was on, you know, a heap more sugar and that sort of stuff than she was. But, you know, once you can get through that, I think it's, you just wouldn't go back.
Yeah. So once those sugar withdrawals broke,
yep.
How did you start dealing with the hunger? Did the hunger start to ease off?
Yeah, I distinctly remember, because I think I might have spoken to you at the end of that first week, and I actually wasn't feeling hungry.
Mm.
You know, I was having, good large juices, morning, lunch, and dinner, and, yeah, I wasn't hungry really at all. In fact, I sort of didn't really want for any food. I wasn't in that mind space. I was actually really looking forward to my juice. Mm. You know, like particularly when I wake up in the morning, having juice really set me off for the day, and I didn't struggle at all from there on.
Right. Looking back at that experience, Matt, people often talk about hunger and mm-hmm. I think there is a mixing up of two different things that are going on. There's one aspect of hunger, which means that your body needs some nutrition and you need to put something in your stomach.
Yep.
But along with that hunger, there's that sugar withdrawal starting to kick in, which we confuse both of those and we mix them up together and we call it hunger.
Yep.
Once you actually get off the sugar, you experience hunger very differently. Would you say that was the case for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. You don't get that real need. You just don't feel that need to you know, for a hit of, I suppose, sugar, I suppose it is. And my whole mindset changes. I don't know how to explain it, but it's you go from this mindlessly shoveling this sugar laden food into you to going through this process and then getting to the other side and feeling you just don't have that hunger for those sorts of things. You just can't imagine yourself putting it in your mouth. And you just change. I don't think it's just a mind thing. It's a whole body thing. So, yeah, look, it's certainly, the process certainly changes you and what you accept that you would put into your mouth. Mm.
Now, I'm going to say something which might be very confronting for a lot of people here. And I just want to hear your comments on it.
Yep.
People, when they look at someone going through the experience of juicing, the first thing that comes to their mind is that they're mad.
Yep.
The second thing that comes to their mind is how restrictive is that.
Yep.
I want to put it to people that actually getting off sugar, which is an extremely addictive substance, gives you a lot of freedom.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people that question what I was doing at the time, once they started to see what I was doing and the results and how it was affecting my life in a positive way, then started to turn. And I can't tell you how many people then wanted to know what I was doing and how I was doing it and all that sort of stuff. Now, some people still chose not to take it up because they thought it was too, although I couldn't do that. But what it comes down to is making the decision to do it, and then realizing through the process that it's actually one of the greatest things you can do for yourself, for your health. Mm. And you just got to get people to take that step. And once they take that step, and friends of ours, you know, some of the friends that did do it have benefited a lot by it. So, and I think it gives you, you know, not only a healthier existence, but, you know, like I've got a lot more energy. Obviously, I used to get a lot of reflux and a lot of, you know, heartburn, that sort of stuff. And obviously, you know, some skin issues and that sort of stuff. I don't have any of that. And it was amazing. You know, I used to take tablets for reflux and all that sort of stuff, and I haven't taken a tablet for reflux since I started juicing.
Mm. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it's great. Mm. Absolutely fantastic. And you wonder how you could have done it to yourself.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so week one. Now, you started off at what weight, did you say?
I was at almost 135. I was 134.8 kilos.
Right. End of week one, what were you?
I think I'd lost about a kilo a day.
Right, so about 7 kilos lighter.
Yep.
Now, by the way, for someone with your type of BMI, 1 kilo a day is quite normal, which most people look at that and they say, that can't be right. How can you lose 1 kilo a day? It's actually quite difficult to talk about because it's not the sort of weight loss that most people are familiar with, like 1 kilo every month or something, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And this is like 1 kilo every day, so it's very quick. Did you, when you were going through it, did you feel that it was quick for you, or did it feel quite natural?
It felt great. Natural is probably hard to describe because I'd never done it before. I'd never had that feeling before. So, but I was just wrapped. It actually encouraged me to, with the whole process, and because you get such positive feedback from everyone else around you, because they start to say, geez, that's, you know, look at the result, how fantastic, apart and as well as feeling great myself. So yeah, look, it encouraged me, and it felt great.
Overall, how long did you juice for?
21 days.
21 days.
Why it was 21, I don't know, but 21 days.
So that's a long stint. So what did you lose in the total of 21 days?
I got down to 108 kilos.
So you basically lost 20-something kilos.
Yeah.
In 21 days.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Yep. Now, how long ago was that?
That would be over 6 months, 7 months maybe.
Right. So here's the question on everybody's lips.
Yep.
Here's the question on everybody's lips, right?
Yep.
That was 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. How much of it have you put back?
I would fluctuate from about 108 to, you know, maybe a high 109s.
Right. So you didn't put back any of it?
No. So the only time I've really fluctuated is when I started to go to the gym, and I found that I was actually putting on probably a little bit of bulk, muscle size, and I was sort of pushing up to 109. I'm generally about 108 to 109, 9.5, something like that.
Now that you haven't put anything on, what have you changed to keep it that way?
In my diet? I don't have any sugars, obviously. I don't have anything associated with that. So no breads, pastas, rices, any of that sort of stuff. So I eat veggies. I still do juice. So I have a juice in the morning. I occasionally have a juice at lunchtime. But I do mix that up now and then. And I have a meal of a night that's generally some lean chicken, fish, and veggies.
Right. Okay. So your whole diet's totally changed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, I couldn't imagine. I might have said this to you the last time I spoke to you. I couldn't imagine going, and driving through a Hungry Jack's and buying whatever we used to buy. I just couldn't do it. It just doesn't even register anymore. So
now, from my recollection, it wasn't just the Whopper. It was Whopper.
Would have been the double Whopper with cheese and maybe a bit of bacon and, all the whole geared up. Yeah, absolutely. But no, I couldn't even eat that much. Alone what it was. So that doesn't even register with me anymore.
Right. Okay. So so that's an amazing change, Matt, really, when you think about it from where we were not that long ago.
Yep, absolutely.
To be able to actually say we won't even think about driving through the Hungry Jack's. How do you think you would feel if you actually ate a big Whopper now?
Yeah, I've thought about that. I just don't think I could. I don't even think I could eat. I just couldn't eat it. So I don't know. I'd feel sick probably. Yeah, I haven't. I remember discussing with you about making the change and making a definitive decision about what you put back in your mouth from this point on. And that just doesn't come into the equation. I couldn't think of eating it. So. Yeah, look, it's the same as things like soft drink. Like, I just couldn't touch a soft drink now. I just wouldn't have it. I just look at those sorts of things and just don't register with them. So, my whole philosophy and the whole outlook and the way that I go about things now has changed. And I don't think I'm missing out on anything. In fact, I think it's the opposite.
Right. So
and my wife's the same and the kids are the same. I mean, my kids are lean and they've always been lean, but they now see us, eating the way we do, and we don't have things like soft drink and that sort of stuff in the house. So, and they're sporty, and we try and lead by example now, we just don't bring that sort of stuff into the house.
Yep, I remember we used to love Hungry Jack's because didn't they have those free to refill drinks? You could just refill them as many times as you wanted to.
Unlimited refills. That's right.
Yeah, they were fantastic, eh?
I had enough of those for 5 lifetimes, so I'm pretty sure I've had enough in my lifetime for those. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't need any more.
Fair enough. So you are quite happy eating the way you're eating now, quite content. You don't want to go back to your old way of doing things. So what you've basically done, and correct me if I'm wrong, but by going through the process of juicing, you have created what we would call a long-term lifestyle change.
Absolutely, yeah.
That is sustainable forever.
Yeah, Yeah, well, so I don't see it as a diet, if that's what you... To me, it's not a diet. A diet's something that I tried, you know, many, many, many times and was never successful in sticking to it. Now, this is a complete lifestyle change for the better, yeah.
Okay, one last question, Matt. There's plenty of people listening to this podcast, and a lot of these people are type 2 diabetics, which you don't have that problem. But the majority of the people listening to this podcast will have type 2 diabetes, but they will have the similar sort of issues that you've described.
Sure.
And they're listening to this podcast and they're thinking, sounds interesting. Should I? Shouldn't I? What would you say to those people?
I would say, look, if you really want to change your life and your health and you want to turn it around and live a long, healthy life and feel good, then give it a go. Give it a chance. Because if once you get through that initial stage, which is difficult, but I'm sure with, you know, support from your family and from Peter and all the people around you, you will get through it and you will be so much better for it, I can tell you. It is the best thing I've ever done for my health. And I know, you know, people are skeptical and all the rest of it. I can tell you now, it is absolutely sensational once you get on track and get onto the program and get onto the juicing. You will see that there's nothing else that I've ever done that has made such a difference to my life. Nothing. And I can tell you it is fantastic.
That's a pretty powerful statement, Matt. Matt, I would like to thank you very much for being so open and honest with us.
No worries.
And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
No worries, mate. Look after yourself.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. See ya.
If you're a diabetic and you're thinking, well, what can I do? I would encourage you to visit www.diabetichealthclinic.org. Go to the Diabetic Health Clinic Lifestyle Program section where you can go through a questionnaire that will identify if you will benefit from taking part in the Diabetic Health Clinic Lifestyle Program. When you're on our webpage, I would also encourage you to join our Facebook page. You will find a link there on the bottom of the page. The Facebook page has all the latest posts that we put out there, including the latest research into diabetes, some of the latest and greatest diabetic-friendly recipes, and many other things. It's a great way to stay in touch. I look forward to catching up with you on the next podcast.